Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Before the human race harnessed the power of fire, there was only darkness, an inky black foreboding abyss that concealed danger, mystery, and fear. Into that darkness brave men would not venture, for as the map says, here there be monsters.
Good evening and welcome to Here There Be Monsters podcast. I am your captain, Derek Hayes. Tonight I'm going to play a few interviews of gentlemen that have claimed to have shot and killed the elusive Sasquatch. But before we get too far into that, I really enjoy putting the show together each week. Hearing your personal accounts really makes all this hard work worth it. But I have to be honest here. Without a steady flow of calls and listener-submitted stories, the show becomes quite difficult to put together week after week. So if you've had an encounter, please give the Here There Be Monsters hotline a call at 1-888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-6444. The call is super simple to make, costs you absolutely nothing, and the hotline is open 24/7. You can even withhold your name if you'd like. Now, if you don't have a personal story but know someone that does, please persuade that person to call in, or perhaps you know a story secondhand. As long as you've got the details down pat, I'm open to that as well. I want the show to grow, and your calls help. Okay, enough with that. On with the show. A common question to pop up throughout the field of Bigfoot research is, what will it take to prove their existence? Photos, videos, footprints, audio recordings, scat and hair samples have not been enough to verify that they're actually out there. So what will it take? Many argue that a flesh and blood body is the only way to put the myth to bed, but still others are adamantly anti-kill. So despite a few hoaxes and a few false claims, no one has pulled into their local sporting goods store with one of these babies strapped to the hood of their minivan, so the debate continues. Or does it? Tonight we hear from two men who both claim to have shot, killed, and buried two Sasquatch-like creatures, each decades and thousands of miles apart. Our first story is an interview originally broadcast from Art Bell's Coast to Coast back in 2001. Be warned, some of the descriptions within the interviews are graphic in nature.
This is a man who claims he shot, and I believe him, two Bigfoot. He buried them. Bugs, best you can, with the time we've got, tell us.
You want it from the beginning?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I believe this is either December of 76 or January of 77. Me and a couple buddies of mine, by the name of Bird Dog and Jim were out hunting. Back and during that period of time, these varmints, coyotes, bobcats, coons, boy, they'd bring a lot of money. There was a lot of nights we'd go out and hunt all night and come home with $2,000. So this particular night, we was back up north, and we were making our run toward the house, and it's probably 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
And by the way, this is in Texas.
It is in Texas.
Panhandle of Texas, I guess we can identify
that. That is correct.
Okay, go ahead.
And we were coming down this road heading south, and we wanted to come down by a creek, which I won't name at this point. And there was a wheat field on the north side of this creek. It was about a quarter mile wide and about a mile long. And before you got to the creek, there was a series of hill you had to go up and over. And, you know, we traveled about 10, maybe 15 miles an hour with a spotlight going back and forth looking for eyes. And when we come up over this hill and our lights went down on the wheat field, we seen a set of eyeballs. So we immediately put the spotlights on it. We drove on down, keeping it in sight, because at that point we was probably 350 yards from it. We drove on down probably another 100-150 yards, and we were straight almost north of it. And Bird Dog jumped out and come across the cab with his rifle, and he says to me something to the effect, "What the heck is that?" Well, immediately Jim, he jumped out of the pickup, put his rifle on it, and I put mine on it, and I said, "I think it's a bear," because it was squatted down out there in the middle of the wheat field. And I said, "Let's kill it." We all three fired at the same time. It dropped. We jacked another round in the chamber, each one of us, and it got up and took off running. And we fired again, and it dropped again, and it ran and jumped over the fence, went down into the creek. We didn't know what the heck it was at that point. Didn't know if it was a bear or what, because it was running like a human. We went down and played around, whatever, till it got light enough to where we could see, and we went back down to the point where it jumped the fence and went into the creek, and we could see blood drops. We followed the blood drops up to a plum thicket, and we could hear a growling in there, and nobody wanted to go into plum bushes to see what it was. Me being young and dumb, having a .44 Magnum pistol, I decided I'd go into plum bushes. So I go in there, and I guess I was in all 15, 20, 30 feet, something like that. And I still couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, right in front of me, I could see this one creature down on the ground. Another one was sitting there at its head, and it was growling at me. And I had my .44, and it came up like it was coming toward me. And I fired once. It staggered. I cocked the hammer again, and it come toward me again, or leaned to it was coming toward me again. I fired again, and over backwards it went and hit the ground. And we got them out, looked at them, and Art, it scares me to this day still. That female had breasts on her just like a woman. She had the female organs. The male had the organs.
They were covered with hair?
Yes, they were covered with hair, kind of a reddish-brown hair, solid across. Their brow was a little bit higher than a human, but they had nose and eyes similar to human. Their mouth was more like a prune mouth. It scared the hell out of me. I'll just be honest with you, because I thought we'd done killed two deformed human beings. And so me and Bird Dog and Jim, we thought about it for a long time. We decided the best thing to do is to bury them suckers and put them in the ground. So that's what we did.
Okay, can you estimate the, how tall were these creatures?
I'm going to say the male was probably 8.5 foot, somewhere around that area, and the female was probably, I'm going to say 7'6" to 7'8". And the male would probably weigh, I'm just guessing the way we had tug on them, probably 500 pounds. The female weighed probably 4.
Wow.
I mean, they were heavy, Art.
Okay, so you buried them near this creek, right?
Right. In fact, you have a map.
I do.
I guess you still have the map.
I do.
I told you upon my death you could reveal it.
Yeah, I've got the map.
But I was listening to your guest tonight. He said they can't be classified as space as a human species, and that's why I wanted to talk to him. Because if he can convince me they are not human, I will reveal that location.
Yeah, we talked to, I think you had a chance to talk to an attorney, isn't that right?
That's correct. And I talked to an attorney. My wife didn't want me doing it because the thing about it is the female breast and the female organs and the male organs and stuff, it was just, you know, you can't understand it unless you can see it. And it's still burned into my brain to this day.
What do you think the odds are, Bugs, that you could go back to that location, dig, and find remains that could yield DNA?
100%. I know the exact location. And as far as I know, nobody's ever messed around it. Because there's only three people in the world, well, there's four now, my wife, five, counting you, Art, that knows the exact location of this. People know it's the Texas Panhandle. They don't know where in the Texas Panhandle. But this particular creek or river or whatever, it runs to the Rockies. And as far as the stink, I never smelt any stink. I smelt a lot of blood during that time. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about how they stink like skunks. I never smelt that, but I could smell the blood.
All I can say to that is, wow. You know, Art went on to interview Bugs a few other times. His story, while elaborated upon, did not seem to change much in detail. There are a few aspects to the story that really pique my interest. For starters, he gave Art a map. Now, sure, you can argue that anyone can draw a map to a make-believe dead Bigfoot, and you'd be right about that. But why would you do it, then instruct Art to release it only after your death? Bugs won't even be around to see the results of his prank, if that is indeed what this is. Secondly, he claimed to have contacted a lawyer. Now, I can only imagine what that lawyer thought when he took that phone call. But there's some merit there. Why would you waste time and money contacting a lawyer? And lastly, he wanted verification that the animal he shot was a primate and not a human. That really makes it sound like he's concerned for his own legal safety. Now, granted, any good story will have all these tie-ins and throwbacks. Who's to say that this guy just isn't a great yarn spinner and saw a perfect opportunity to get himself on Art's show? People have done stranger things for less notoriety. I'm going to go ahead and reserve my judgment on this, but that's not going to stop me from enjoying this story.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Now, our second story is eerily similar to the previous. The following is Justin Smija's account of what took place in Northern California back in 2010. Here's a portion of a very lengthy interview he had.
Yeah, it was October 8th of 2010, and we were going bear hunting up by Gold Lake, Haskell Peak area, and it was just another day. We were bear hunting, we're also deer hunting, we had tags for both of them, but it doesn't really matter at this point. And we'd hunt most of the day, unproductive. We found one small buck, and my buddy, he was going to take it, and we talked about it, and we said, you know what, it's a young deer, let's let this one grow up. So we passed on that deer, then we ended up going into another area. We're coming around the corner, it's probably 5 o'clock, it's maybe hour and 15 minutes before legal shooting time ended. we came around this corner. Well, it's not really a corner. It's kind of like an open field, but it's a blind corner because you can't see past these trees. They make kind of a wall that goes along the side of the road, and then it all opens up. So it opens up. We're in this big field. We both look, and we see this thing at the same exact time. The truck stopped. I pointed my rifle at it. I had a 25-06. Not normally a deer gun, but I feel plenty embarrassed with it. And I could see it through the scope. I had my scope on 16 power. So I could see it pretty clearly. I everybody asked me, you know, well, what was going through your head? You know, did you think it was a bear? You know, I thought a lot of things. It wasn't that I was a skeptic. It was that I didn't know that anybody believed in Bigfoot at all. We saw this creature that was walking on two legs, hairy. It looked, the best way I can describe it is it looked like a person in a suit. Probably 3 or 4 seconds had gone by, and it started to walk towards us. It's between 180 yards, somewhere in there, I don't know exactly. It started to walk towards us. Had his arms in the air like it was waving. I'm almost like, don't shoot, don't shoot. Kind of a universal thing. I think any language anybody raises their hands, try to surrender, say no shoot. I didn't know what it was. To me, it was just a monster. That's all it really was. I'm looking at this monster. By this time, I have a bullet in the chamber, finger on the trigger, and it's coming towards us, slowly, just taking steps, waving. A lot of people said that I shot it in the back, by the way. So if you have a deer and you shoot it behind the shoulder, then you're going to penetrate both lungs. On a person, I guess it's just a hard area to describe, but it's basically right under the shoulder where the lungs are located. But on a bipedal animal, I guess it sounds a lot different when you say I shot behind the shoulder. So I'm squeezing off, and maybe 5 seconds had passed, and my buddy, he says, don't shoot, don't shoot. It's not a bear. It's not a, do not shoot. And I'm still kind of just locked in on this thing. To me, it's a monster. That's all it was. When I'm locked in on this, and he knows that the gun's getting ready to go off. We've hunted together a lot over the years. And we both knew what was going to happen. Normally, when we see something, we're road hunting, but we do not hike and see. Normally, when you see something, the truck stops, both of us get out, and we got our rifles on it immediately. Both of us. Doesn't matter what side it's on, both of us are going to get out. Well, my buddy just pulled up his binoculars because he didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to think. And we're looking at this thing, and I'm pretty close to pulling the trigger. I've just been squeezing this whole time, and he's getting louder and louder. He's like, hey, bro, don't shoot. Don't shoot. Dude, that is not a bear. That's a person in a suit. That's a person in a suit. Don't shoot. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, if it's a person in a suit, we got a real problem here. Because they're walking around during bear season with a furry suit on. Something don't add up about this. Halfway thinking in the back of my mind that maybe we're going to pull around the corner and it's going to be like a film crew or something. I don't know. My mind's going 100 miles an hour. But I see this animal, this furry thing. We're there to hunt. We're there to kill animals. And it was just a monster. So I pulled the trigger, and you could see dust shoot off the side of it. Like, it obviously made a really good hit. Definitely got it in the lungs. And it took off running. And then, just then, we see two, I guess you'd call them kids, or cubs or something, I don't know. The big one's almost out of sight. You know, I made a good hit on it. And these two come right out. My buddy's like, holy s***, really? There's more of them. And so we drive the truck into the field as far as we can, maybe 30 yards, and then we take off running. We heard the thing crash, though. It crashed. It sounded like a car wreck. We knew we made a good hit. Very typical to shoot a deer. Had him run 50, 60, 70 yards and expire. So we run out there. My buddy doesn't even grab his gun. I mean, he's just, we're just running, trying to run over to this thing. And the cubs, they go just out of sight. And we run over there. And now we're face-to-face with these kids, probably 10 yards away or so. And we can't find the big one. So I decided I'm going to shoot one of the kids. Yeah, my buddy's like, no, do not shoot, do not shoot. Okay, okay, all right. We'll just find the big one, and then we'll get it, and we'll leave. So we end up looking for 15 minutes or so. Meanwhile, the kids are, they're looking for their parent, obviously. They are walking around looking for their parent. And we knew we were looking in the right area then, because I made the mistake of shooting a sow pin. Well, a lot of people have. We tried to shoot boars, but it's legal to shoot a sow. And then the piglets come running out. And they always know right where their mom is. They take you to the body. I mean, it's a sick, sad thing, whatever. So we knew that it was right there. We just couldn't find it. It's an extremely brushy area. I mean, we could have looked for 2 weeks and not found it. So there's blood on the ground. We're kind of looking at the blood. We're walking around. We split up probably 10 or 15 times. He'd go one way, I'd go the other way, and the kids would do the same thing. They'd walk into the center of the open field, and they'd say something to each other. It sounded like deaf chatter, like they'd go, whoa, whoa. They'd say something to each other, and they'd split up. And then about a minute later, they'd come back, you know, almost like, hey, have you seen anything? You seen anything? No, okay, yeah. Have you seen our parent? No, all right. So did you look up there? Did you look by the tree? Did you look by the stuff? Yeah, I looked by the stuff. Did you look by the tree? Oh, I looked by the other tree. Like, you know, they were saying something like that. So, but they didn't care that we were there. They were not alarmed at all. They were just there. And so, maybe 15 minutes goes by or so. And I keep deciding that I'm going to shoot one of the little ones. I'm like, we'll shoot one of these, throw it in the back, and figure it out. And, my buddy's like, no, no, that's terrible. Don't do that. There's no reason for that. There's absolutely no reason to do this. So, at the time, just everything's running through my head. I'm thinking, well, if we don't get one of the little ones, nobody's ever going to believe us. And it's just going to be a crazy story. We just need to find the big one, and then we need to get out of here. So, eventually, me and my buddy are split up. And one of them, I'm down this hill, and it's almost like straight uphill, maybe 15 yards away, maybe 20. And one of them, the little one, starting to approach me. He's getting closer. He's getting closer. Starting to make some noise, like the deaf chatter thing. He's getting closer, and I was thinking, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here, but he's going to get too close. It's way too close for comfort. Screw it. I'm going to shoot. So I shoot it directly in the neck. I didn't want to mess up the skull or the face. And it rolls down the hill and actually it hits my feet, starts bleeding on my boots. Still alive. So I pick it up and I'm sitting there looking at it, and then I'm starting to feel bad. I'm starting to realize, like, well, what have I done? What have I done? And that went on for a couple minutes. There's a lot of stuff that happened in there, but to summarize it, make a long story short, it died. And we decided that we were going to... Well, then my buddy walked up, and he's like, what have you done? Oh, my, seriously? Really? What have you done? And so, yeah, fine, forget it. You know, forget this. So I throw it on the ground, and I start walking off, walking back to the truck. And then I look back, and my buddy's holding it. Just holding it, sitting there staring at it. So I walk back to him. Like, dude, we got to get out of here. Somebody just heard a shot. You know that somebody's going to show up, fishing game. Somebody, we're going to get in so much trouble. We're going to go to jail. We need to get out of here. This is crazy. Let's go. And so we're like, okay, well, fine. Let's hide this, so we'll come back for it later. We'll come back. Okay, so... We take it in the bush, get it as deep as we can, throw a bunch of stuff on top of it. And then we leave. Not saying a word. We actually drove out of there like probably 60 miles an hour on that dirt road. Just, it doesn't make sense, but we were just afraid that we were going to get caught, we were going to get in trouble, something. So we drove down to Sierraville, which is the closest, anything really. We were just driving home. And we stopped and both of us quit smoking in like the last 6 months. Gross habit, but we both walk in, get a pack of cigarettes without saying a word. He gets his brand, I get mine. And we drive all the way home without saying a word.
While I was researching this interview, I came across a short clip of Justin's friend who was in the truck that day. This interview is part of a documentary called The Sierra Kills. I highly suggest you check it out if you find the subject at all interesting. I'll post a link to it in the show notes. Now here's that segment.
I don't have the greatest pair of binoculars, and I had it set up to look quite a bit further than what we had it set up to, but even looking through the binoculars, it didn't look right. It wasn't a bear. I'm not going to say what it was.
Besides its appearance, what about its behavior that screamed to you, not a bear?
It had human-like behavior. The way it was standing, the way it had its arms up in the air, bears don't do that. Maybe in the circus, I don't know, but bears in the wild, they don't do that. And bears usually turn around and go the opposite direction. They don't go towards you. And it was walking towards us. Full stride walking towards us.
So now about 4 or 5 seconds have gone by, and he's getting tighter on the trigger, I'm guessing, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's slowly squeezing, getting ready to let go. Yeah, absolutely. And
what are you saying to him?
The whole time it was, don't shoot. That's all it was the whole time, telling him not to shoot. It's not a good idea. And this is all, yeah, within 5 seconds. And then there was no convincing him at that point, just as much as there probably would have been no convincing me at that point, because he had the rifle. If I had the rifle, I would have probably done the same thing.
Can you walk me through the next, I'm assuming it's about 10 seconds between that point and the point of the trigger being pulled? Can you walk me through
that? It's probably only 12 seconds between the point where we came around the corner and I stopped my car and he pulled the trigger. Like, it was 12 seconds the entire time. Maybe 10. I don't know. It doesn't take very long. If you wait any longer, you're going to miss the shot. And for us to drive that far and go home with nothing sucks. We do it all the time, but yeah, and it's almost dark. You pull the trigger. You make it happen. You don't miss a shot because you're trying to figure it out.
So, 5 seconds in, you know he's pulling the trigger. You pretty much are assuming that.
I was surprised he hadn't already pulled the trigger. Like, he doesn't wait that long. Like, so maybe that's where he was realizing something was a little off. I don't know. But it usually doesn't take 5 seconds for either of us. It's usually a lot faster than that.
So, the trigger's pulled, and you get the big boom. What happens after that?
I am still looking through the binoculars at that point when the trigger gets pulled. I didn't even put him down. I couldn't stop looking. And I saw where he hit it. It was a fantastic shot. And I just remember seeing the way that the ripples in the skin and the body had like a concussion to it because I was staring so intently at it. It was intense. It would be like throwing a baseball in a bowl of Jello, the way the body shook when he hit it. It was pretty cool to watch, actually. Yeah. Which people can say that's f***ed up, I don't care. It was pretty f***ing awesome.
Now, the driver, who has remained anonymous, seems to verify Justin's story. However, it gets a bit deeper than that.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
In a 2014 National Geographic documentary entitled Bigfoot, The New Evidence, Brian Sykes, a renowned geneticist and best-selling author, tests DNA from several Sasquatch samples collected from around the world, including hide samples provided by Justin, as well as a blood sample found on his boot. In the documentary, Justin claims that when he returned for the bodies that he'd buried, all that remained was one small swatch of hide, the same swatch that he'd later donated to Sykes for analysis. It's safe to say that the results were not what he'd hoped for.
It reveals that the lab couldn't find any blood on the boot that Justin insisted the baby Sasquatch had bled onto.
I couldn't identify that as blood or identify as any particular type of blood.
Pretty devastating bits of news. I mean, look on your face.
This is terrible news. This is not good. This is not good at all.
Be honest with us. Is this a hoax?
It's ridiculous. What benefit would I have? Say, you know, is somebody going to give me a couple $100 to show up on a TV show? I am not better off. I mean, if anything, I'm less off financially because I spend all my time in the woods looking for Bigfoot. Is it a hoax? No. This is tough. This is my whole life.
Unfortunately, these results punch several holes in his theory. The hide being that of a bear, and the blood being non-existent at all, really make this pill hard to swallow. Why were the bodies not there where he'd left them? Why were parts of a bear carcass found in its place? Where was the blood he claimed to have had spilled on his boot? In a clip from Sykes' documentary, Smeja claims that he has nothing to gain by fabricating his story. But I can't help but notice he pops up everywhere from Monsters and Mysteries in America to Million Dollar Bigfoot Bounty. All of these are paid appearances. But of course, do your own research and form your own opinions. To close out this evening, I want to end on a somewhat lighter note. Sometimes shooting a Bigfoot isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Well, the search for Bigfoot in Rogers County ended last night with a man shot in the back. The victim was taken to the hospital, but three other people were taken into custody. News on 6 reporter Tony Russell spoke with the Rogers County Sheriff's Office about the bizarre details. Tony.
Tara, it started at a Quick Trip when a 911 dispatcher got a call about a shooting victim being brought there. It turns out the person shot claimed to be on a hunt with his buddies looking for Sasquatch.
If they'd have just been factual and upfront and truthful with us and explained that this was truly an accident, as strange as it might sound, we would have went ahead and investigated and probably nobody would have went to jail.
Three people were arrested after the shooting Saturday night. The Rogers County Sheriff's Office says two men were out in the woods just north of 177th East Avenue and Tiger Switch Road. They told deputies they were out looking for Bigfoot. Omar Pineda told deputies he heard a barking noise, jerked, and shot his fellow hunter, Joseph Smalley, by accident. Smalley was rushed out of the woods to this Quick Trip store in Catoosa. When deputies started investigating, they got inconsistent stories.
The aggravating part of this whole deal is that their dishonesty wastes several man hours of not only the Rogers County Sheriff's Office, but our partners, the Tulsa County Sheriff's Office.
It's just up this street where the road dead ends, and dive teams spent much of the day looking for a gun tossed in the pond. James Perry, who owns the land, told deputies he threw the gun in the pond because he was a convicted felon. Perry's daughter, Lacey Pineda, and Lacey's husband, Omar Pineda, were arrested. Perry was arrested for being a felon in possession of a firearm and destruction of evidence. The Pinedas were arrested for obstructing the investigation and careless use of a firearm. Authorities think it was accidental.
Have you had Bigfoot sightings in Rogers County before?
You know, I mean, to our knowledge, no Bigfoot sightings in Rogers County. I think our focus is career criminals and thugs, and we're going to stay focused on that and let somebody else go after Bigfoot.
The shooting victim is expected to recover from his injuries, Tara.
Yeah, definitely a bizarre story. Thank you very much, Tony.
Luckily, it turned out that the victim made a full recovery. Be careful out there, folks. This could have ended very badly for all parties involved. Maybe they should have stuck to some wood knocks. And that does it for this evening's show. I want to thank you all for listening. But before you close out iTunes, please click subscribe and leave a review. It goes a long way toward bringing in new listeners to the show. while you're at it, check us out on both Facebook and Instagram. I've been known to post some cool stuff over there from time to time. Help support the show financially. Head over to Etsy.com and search for The Rag and Bone Emporium. That's N as in Nancy and not A-N-D. Or simply head over to the website, www.HereThereBeMonstersPodcast.com, and follow the links there. And while you're on the site, be sure to check out the show notes for each episode. All the links to tonight's interviews and clips can be found over there. If you like all this cryptid stuff, jump on over to www.cryptopia.us and follow their blog. Turns out you can also listen to episodes of Here There Be Monsters podcast over there, so you can kill two birds with one stone. And that's it for tonight. Thanks again for listening, and until next week.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.